It's now 2 weeks since the Petya cyber attack infected so many computer systems right around the world, impacting several businesses and governments alike. The virus, which was traced back to the Ukraine, even caused, this is probably the saddest of all, the Cadbury factory down in Tassie to halt production. Such was its effect. Now, to discuss the repercussions of the attack, I'm joined by Associate Professor Mark Gregory. He's from the School of Engineering at RMIT University. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on The Daily. Now, what's the aftermath of this cyber attack been like?
Well, it's been quite interesting because, of course, the one of the service providers in Europe realised that the email address that this particular attack was using for people to send receipts for payment if they wanted to get their data back, and then the same email address would be used to send the decryption code to the people, the service provider closed it down. So almost from day one, those people that were hit by this particular ransomware attack had no way out. There was no way to contact the people behind it to get the computers decrypted.
Right. Did that compound the problem?
Oh, most certainly. And of course, it really brings home the fact that people need to realise that they can't wait for the attacks to occur and then say, well, look, I might pay the ransom. People need to take action now and to put the anti-malware and anti-ransomware software on computers and also, most importantly, to do backups.
Absolutely. Now, how do they cause so much damage?
Well, it's a ripple effect. These things are not only ransomware, they're attacking one computer, but they're also what we call a worm. And, of course, the idea of a worm is that once it gets on one computer, it then uses every means possible to get itself moved onto every other computer within the local area network. And it also takes over mail systems and then sends email to all the people on that computer's contact list with the virus in that email. And if you get email from someone that you know very closely, you know, friend or family or, you know, your parents, and in that email there's a Word document saying, open this and you'll see our pictures from the latest trip that we did or something like that, then a lot of people are going to open it. And of course, they don't realize it's not actually from their friend or family. It's actually this virus spreading itself.
Right. Now, are there the market, I mean, the software that's available on the market that's readily available, is that sort of going to protect people from this type of thing?
Yes. It's not. There's no such thing as a foolproof guarantee. But what we're seeing from some of the companies that are offering family packages for the anti-malware and anti-ransomware software is that they're getting up there now into the 99.9% safety against these types of attacks for most people's home computers and other devices. But look, if people are going down this path, I strongly recommend they look at the packages from some of the big companies, because they will sell a family package where they'll give you licenses for your home PCs, your phones and tablets. And, it's most important to put this software on every electronic device you've got connected to the network.
Now, pardon my ignorance, but couldn't the bad guys, for want of a better term, couldn't they buy the same software and then work out sort of how to beat it, how to break it?
It is definitely an arms race. There is no doubt about it. There's always going to be an arms race between the people that develop the software to stop this stuff and the people that are creating this stuff. The issue is, of course, is that with these malware, there are certain identifiable ways that they actually occur. And so what the people can do is identify the approaches that they take and plug the holes. And so therefore, it means that the malware developers have to find a new hole. Now, we've seen recently these malware attacks have been using exploits, and a number of them has been alleged that a number of these exploits were known to security agencies, including the US, NSA, and so on. Now, rather than tell the software manufacturers about these exploits in the computer systems, the security agencies have been sitting on them. And with the leak of this information out of the security agencies, the bad guys have jumped on it. Wow. And what we're seeing is that the operating system manufacturers are really playing catch up. And so what one of the outcomes of this is that there's been a huge outcry stating that if security agencies know about exploits, they really need to be telling the software manufacturers.
Right. And haven't been doing that to date? That isn't sort of...
No, that's right. They've been sitting on these known exploits to the operating systems. because they've been using them, they claim, to be spying on other governments overseas or countries that are not friendly. And they've also been using these exploits to spy on criminals. And that's all very well and good, and we support fully the need of agencies for security and for general policing. But there's also a need for the general population to know that they're getting protected. And some of these malware attacks have taken out thousands, if not tens of thousands, of computers around the world. And we've got to wonder, how effective would these attacks be if the security agencies weren't sitting on these known exploits?
Mm. Now, what should people do if they do find themselves sort of victim of one of these cyber attacks?
Well, as was stated at the early point, the whole premise of these attacks is it goes in three stages. Your computer gets encrypted, and there's a message on the screen saying, pay some bitcoins to this account number. Then what we will do is we will email you, you'll get a receipt when you do the Bitcoin transaction. And then what you've got to do is email the receipt to their email address. And then they say that they will email you a decryption key that you can decrypt your computer. The problem is, as we've seen from Europe, is that companies are shutting down these email addresses. And so there's really no way out if you get hit by one of these ransomware attacks. The best avenue is, if you do get hit, is to talk to a software professional about the problem. The other thing, of course, is remember that if that computer has been attacked and has been encrypted, it is a time bomb because it's trying to spread itself to other computers. So the first thing you should do is disconnect it from the network and turn it off.
Right. Unplug it. Throw it out the window.
Well, not throw it out the window, but unplug it and turn it off, and then get some computer experts, the local IT guy, to come in, because some of the companies are now developing tools that will actually decrypt this stuff in some instances. Not often, but some of the material, can be recovered in some instances. Look, ultimately, nothing is going to work as well as doing backups regularly and having anti-malware and anti-ransomware software on your devices.
Mm, some good tips there. Well, Professor Mark, thank you so much for your time and having a chat to us on The Daily today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
There we are. That was Associate Professor Mark Gregory from RMIT University down in Melbourne, speaking about the ongoing threat of cyber security attacks and what needs to be doing. Don't follow my advice. Don't throw your computer out the window. Just back it up. Back it up. I do it every Friday.